the scriptures as we always do here at Open Door Baptist Church. We're going to turn, if you would, with me in Exodus chapter 4 this morning. Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4, we'll begin reading in verse number 10. Exodus chapter 4, verse number 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? O who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? And I know that he can speak well, and also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth, and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be, even he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, that thou shalt be to him instead of God. And thou shalt take this rod in thy hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the perfect scriptures this morning, Lord. We thank you for the King James Bible. Father, we just claim your promise this morning that your word would go out and not return void. Father, I pray that you'd take me out of the way. I'm just nothing but flesh, Father, but I just pray your Holy Spirit would overflow me this morning to say only those things that you'd have me to say. Father, we just pray this morning, if there be a lost soul that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior, that they would realize that their destiny this morning is for the lake of fire, but they can change that destiny if they just call upon the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, because to believe in him is to receive life eternal. Father, we'll remember to give you all the honor and the praise for whatever you'll choose to do this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Here we are, 1995, the first day. It's a New Year's Day, amen. And a lot of people have made New Year's resolutions this morning that they've already, last night, that they've already broken this morning. But we're not going to talk about resolutions or anything. But we're going to talk about excuses for not serving God. Many Christians today are not serving God. And maybe you should reflect upon that, Christian, this morning as we get in this message, that why you're not serving God. For one excuse or another, Christians are not serving God. And there's really no excuse, Christian, for not serving God. This morning, we're going to look at some great men of God, as we started off with Moses, who began, before they began to serve God, they came up with an excuse or an alibi not to serve him. But God, as we saw with Moses this morning, and we'll continue to look at Moses in just a moment, but God did not let them, these great men of God, off the hook so easily. He was right there with a comeback, which they could not deny. So this morning, we're going to look at some excuses for not serving God. Number one, let's look at Moses. What Moses said in verse chapter 4 of Exodus, verse number 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither herefore nor since thou hast spoken unto me thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Moses' excuse basically to God was, I can't talk. I'm slow of speech. When it comes to speaking, I'm a klutz. I'm tongue-tied. I'm not a good public speaker, Lord. I get nervous in front of people. I don't speak well. My grammar is bad. That was his excuse. That was Moses' excuse for not being able to serve God. That was his excuse. But we see God's response. He listened. You know, I could see him listening, going like this. God, you know, nodding his head as Moses was giving him his excuses. But the Lord responds. He says in verse 11 of Exodus 4, and the Lord said unto him, to Moses, he says, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or the deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. The Lord responds to Moses and says, Moses, who made man's mouth? Who made your mouth? The answer to the rhetorical question is, God did. I did. The Lord God made your mouth. God saying to Moses, basically, I made your mouth. Therefore, I will tell you what to say so you'll be able to say it. We see in Exodus 4, in our passage, in verse 15, the Lord tells Moses, I will teach you what to say. I will teach you what to say. Today, we hear many Christians say, I can't witness for the Lord. I'm tongue-tied. I get nervous when speaking to people. I don't know what to say. But what does God say about all of that? The same questions, the same excuse that Moses gave to the Lord, Christians give to the Lord today. It hasn't changed. Nothing's changed. But what does God say about all of this? Well, we know the scriptures tell us as Christians, you and I this morning have the Spirit of God indwelling each and every one of us permanently. He sealed us until the day of redemption, the scriptures tell us. So Jesus tells us about that Holy Ghost that indwells us. Turn over to the Gospel of John this morning and see what Jesus says about the Holy Ghost. In John chapter 14, it says, Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 26, Jesus says to the disciples, but the Comforter, and he says, identifies who the Comforter is, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Christian, you are without excuse for not witnessing for the Lord. Jesus said the Holy Ghost will bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Also, when Jesus sent the disciples out to witness for him, to witness to him, to the lost sheep of Israel, over in the Gospel of Matthew, in chapter 10, Jesus said, in Matthew chapter 10, verse 17, it says, but beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take not no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. See, the Holy Ghost will give each and every Christian the words to say to the lost people when you're dealing with them about the Savior, when you're trying to lead a person to Christ. The Holy Ghost will give you those words. You see, the problem with Christians today is they have very little for the Holy Ghost to bring to their memory, to their mind, because they're not in the Scriptures. See, you have to be Christian. You have to be in the Word of God. You have to put something, okay, just like if some of you work in an office or some of us at home or have computers or whatever it may be, and we store data into that computer, you know, as we go along. That's what our mind is, a computer, if you think about it. There's a lot of electricity going along in our mind and things going off. So in order for us, you know, after you've entered that data into a computer, you're able to access it and call it back up, are you not? Well, that's the same way with the Word of God. We're to take the Word of God and put it in our hearts and in our minds, so then when we get into a situation and we want to witness for Christ, we'll be able to call it back. The Holy Spirit will bring it up. But it's got to go in first. It's got to go in first. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 15, verse 26, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, will testify of me. So that's who's testifying. When you testify for Christ and when you witness for Christ, it's the Holy Spirit of God. It's the Holy Ghost that's testifying and through you to tell others about Jesus. See, the emphasis is on Jesus Christ. The emphasis is testifying about Jesus Christ, not testifying about the Holy Spirit. So, Christian, I would be very leery of groups of people that want to put a tremendous emphasis upon the Spirit of God and not Jesus Christ. Because the Spirit of God is the one that testify, Jesus said, will testify of me. So, Christian, you need to be in the book to be able for the Holy Spirit of God to bring to your memory the things that you've learned out of the Word of God. Christian, you can't use the I don't know what to say as an excuse, because Jesus said the Holy Ghost would be your memory. You know, we all have, as we get older, we have problems. We have problems remembering names and places and so forth and so on. Okay? But we don't have to worry about that when it comes to the things of God, because Jesus has promised us that the Holy Ghost will bring to the things, to our minds, the things to speak and testify of Jesus Christ. And praise God, He'll give you the things to say, and it won't be in any unknown tongue, any unknown gibberish, but in the language so people can understand it, praise God. You know, God does not necessarily call great orators to serve for Him, although we've had some great orators in the past that have been preachers, but He used Moses in spite of his speech problems, as we see. We see that Moses was a deliverer, that the Lord had sent to take the people out of Egypt, to lead them out of bondage. We look at others. We look at Amos, the minor prophet. He was a herdsman. He was a herdsman. He was out there in a herd stepping in cow manure his whole day in life. But God used him. He called Amos the herdsman to preach the word. And how about the disciples? For the most part, most of them were uneducated fishermen. They were probably rough and gruff and poor speakers. Their grammar was probably terrible. Remember the words of Paul the Apostle to the Corinthians. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26, Paul said, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." So he's saying, those that the Lord calls, not many of them are going to be wise, what we call wise after the flesh, the ways of the world. Not many are going to be mighty. Not many are going to be mobile, noble. That's who he calls. The weak, the foolish, by the world's standards, to do his work. So we see then excuse number one is that that Moses used this morning, that a lot of Christians use, is I'm slow of speech. I can't talk. Turn to Luke chapter 5 with me this morning. Luke chapter 5. We want to look at another excuse that a great man of God used. Luke number 5. In Luke chapter 5, we see the account where our Lord tells Simon to launch out into the deep and let down his nets to catch fish. And of course, Simon, we see Peter, doubts Jesus Christ and says, "I've fished all night, Lord. You know, I've caught nothing, but you told me to let down my net, so I let down my net." And he let down his net, and to his astonishment, they caught so many fishes that the nets break. And as they were pulling them up, and they put them not only in the boat that Simon Peter was in, but in the other boats, that the boats were so overloaded with fish that they almost sank. So then we see an excuse that Simon, look at what Simon Peter says in Luke chapter 5. In verse number 8, when Simon Peter saw it, seeing all the fishes, the great catch that they had, in other words, he fell down at Jesus' knees. He fell at his knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Excuse number 2 for not serving God is that a man is sinful. I'm sinful, Lord. I can't serve you. Simon tells Jesus, "I am sinful." Why was he sinful? Because of his unbelief. Because of his unbelief. Many Christians today will say, "I cannot serve God," because they are sinful. They can't be used to God. You see, the devil will whisper in the Christian's ear and say, "You know, buddy, You can't serve God. You're not good enough. You can't serve God until you're perfect, until you're squeaky clean, until you are without sin. And of course, a Christian listens to this garbage and doesn't serve God. As Christians, we know that there is a part of us that is sinless. There's a part of us this morning that's sinless. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9 tells us, "Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God." So what we want to see then is, there's a part of us that is sinless this morning, but it's that part that's born of God. What part of us is born of God? What part of us this morning is born of God? The Gospel of John tells us in John chapter 1 and verse 12, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." So see, the part of us that's sinless is the part that's been born of God, that's been born again of God. Not the flesh, not the blood, but the Spirit has been born again. If you're a Christian this morning, if you've called and asked Jesus to save you, you're born again of the Spirit. Your spirit is sinless this morning. Your spirit cannot sin. But we've got to remember, the spirit may be sinless, but this old flesh we live in, this carcass, this earthen vessel is not sinless. Paul talked about the flesh. He reminds us of this morning. He realized that his flesh was not sinless. Paul said in Romans chapter 7, verse 18, he says, "For I know that in me," he says, and in parentheses, "that is in my flesh," he identifies it, "dwelleth no good thing." Christian, today, as Paul said, "in your flesh dwelleth no good thing." Regardless of what the evolutionists, that social gospel, want to preach, you've got to get better and better and better. Paul says that the Word of God says that I know in me, that's in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And Paul topped it off in Romans chapter 7 and verse 24. He said, "O wretched man that I am, O wretched man that I am!" Exclamation point. Your flesh, in your flesh, you're a wretched man. You see, you will not become perfect, totally, or totally sinless until Jesus returns for us. Then at the rapture, our body will also be redeemed. Paul the Apostle tells us over in Philippians this morning, in chapter 3, he says, in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, Paul says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Listen now in verse 21, "who shall change our vile body," this body that we're in, the body that you're in this morning is a vile body. That's what the Word of God says, not me. Don't get angry at me that I called your body a vile body. That's what the Word of God is. Your argument is with God, not me. "Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." That's when you and I will totally be perfect, is when Jesus Christ returns for us. Then our body will be redeemed. Our vile body will be like his, a glorious body. We want to notice in Luke chapter 5 what Jesus doesn't say. He doesn't refute Peter's statement, "for I'm a sinful man." He didn't say, "Paul, no, you're not, Peter. You're not a sinful man. You're just perfect. You're wonderful. You're lovely. You're the greatest thing going since sliced bread." He didn't say that, because the Bible tells us that no one is sinless. "There is none righteous, no, not one. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God." So Jesus didn't refute that part of his statement, "I'm a sinful man." But he did refute, "depart from me, depart from me." We want to notice what Jesus says, what Jesus did say in Luke chapter 5 and verse number 10. This is what Jesus did say. He said, "And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." Thou shalt catch men. Even though you're a sinful man, Simon Peter, thou shalt catch men. In other words, Jesus says to Simon Peter, despite you being a sinful man, I will use you. And didn't he use Peter in a mighty, mighty way? We saw he get up at the day of Pentecost and preach one of the greatest messages that were ever preached to the nation of Israel, to get right, to accept Christ as the Messiah, to be baptized for the remission of sins. And who was it that the Lord sent to the Gentiles the first time with the gospel of grace, the death, the burial, and resurrection to Cornelius in Acts chapter 10? Peter, Simon Peter. The same guy that said, "Lord, depart from me, I'm a sinful man." Jesus promised, even though you're sinful, Peter, thou shalt catch men. So there's no excuse, Christian, today. Despite your sins, despite your failings and your shortcomings, God will make you a fisher of men. You will catch men. Of course, that doesn't give you open season to live an open, sinful life. But part with what Jesus is saying to Peter is, hey, none of you human beings are perfect. None of you are sinless while you're in the flesh. And in spite of those shortcomings, in spite of those sins, I will still use you. It's not an excuse because you're a sinful man not to be not serving God. God said, I will use you. He used Peter in a mighty way. He'll use you in a mighty way. Don't allow Satan to whisper in your ear and tell you in January 1995 that there's no way possible that you can serve Jesus Christ. If that was the case, we would have got saved and he would have taken us home. See, Jesus Christ takes you just as you are. He makes you a new creature in Christ. You want to have things new. You know, it's New Year's Day. You want things new. Jesus said, Paul said, behold, all things become new in Jesus Christ. You're a new creature in Christ. So we see then, excuse number two is for not serving God is depart from me. I'm a sinful man. Please turn to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6 this morning with me. Isaiah chapter 6. The great prophet Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6. When you think of one of the greatest prophets in the scripture, the name Isaiah should come to mind. Should come to mind. He wrote one of the longest book of prophecy, 66 chapters in Isaiah, we know there are 66 books in the Word of God, and there's 66 chapters in Isaiah. Amen. A lot of prophetic material, a lot of material about Jesus' suffering and crucifixion, a lot of material about the second coming. And you would never think that Isaiah would come up with an excuse for not serving God, but he does. Look at Isaiah chapter 6 and verse number 5. He says in verse number 5, "Then said I, woe is me." Pity party time. Woe is me. "For I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." So his excuse is, I can't serve you, Lord, because I'm not only a man of unclean lips, but I'm living with a bunch of other people in the midst of them with unclean lips. See, Isaiah stated this after seeing the vision of the glory of God. He said, how can I serve the Lord after seeing this? He's holy. He's marvelous. He's unbelievable. You know, I think the scene before him, we read about it. It says in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, "And in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim, each one had six wings, with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. This is what Isaiah saw. He says, no way. No way can I serve the Lord. This guy is holy. I'm unclean. I got unclean lips. I'm living with unclean people. He says, I'm undone. Isaiah said, I'm undone. I'm gone. I can't serve God. See, actually, the only reason that God was able to use Isaiah in a mighty way as a prophet is he, first of all, recognized his condition. He recognized that he was undone, a man of unclean lips. And he also recognized that the conditions around him, people were undone and unclean lips. This is the first thing in getting right with God, is to know your condition. Let's look at God's response to what Isaiah said. Look at Isaiah 6, verses 6 and 7. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips. Thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. You see, Isaiah, again, had nothing to offer God, but God had plenty to offer Isaiah. He had a lifetime of service. There's no obstacle too big for God to keep him from using a man in a response to Isaiah's unclean lips excuse. God says, no problem. I can handle that. One of the seraphims takes a coal to Isaiah's lips, and they become clean. And his iniquity is taken away, and his sin is purged. See, the same thing happens to a person when he or she gets saved and trusts Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. If you've done that this morning, right now you're seated in heavenly places. Not your body, but your spirit is right now. If our body was there, we could look around and be in heavenly places, amen, this morning. And looking around and see all the things going around before us and the grandiose things and the mansions and the streets of gold waiting for us. Our iniquities, praise God, have been taken away. Our sins have been purged, and we have been enabled to serve him because of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're saved this morning, your lips should no longer be unclean. Your mouth should no longer be an open sewer. Paul tells us in Colossians 4:6, our speech be always with grace seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man. Paul said to Timothy, hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Our speech should always be seasoned with salt. We should hold fast. Our words should be sound words. And he told Titus, our lips should be full of sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Your lips this morning should be unclean. The things that come out of your mouth, no one should be able to take and condemn you for if you're saved this morning. Just as that hot coal was taken off the altar with the seraphim and put to Isaiah's lips, so when we got saved, we're new creatures in Christ, our speech should have changed also. We should no longer have unclean lips. Unclean lips this morning is no excuse for not serving God. Nothing is impossible with God. He will change all of it if we allow him to. Remember Paul before his conversion? Remember Paul the Apostle? In Acts 8:3 it tells us he made havoc of the church. And in Acts 9:1 it says just before Paul got saved, it says, and Saul, he was called Saul at the time, yet breathing out like a dragon breathes out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. Talk about unclean lips. Paul the Apostle had unclean lips to the uttermost. But look at what God did to him. Remember the Lord realizes where you have been, and he's in the miracle business to make you a new creature in Christ. Don't allow, Christian, your past without Christ this morning be used as an excuse not to serve God in the present with Christ. We see Isaiah's commission in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8 and 9. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And then said I, here I am, send me. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. The Lord has a commission, just as he had a commission for Isaiah. He has a commission or a service for each and every Christian. Each and every Christian. But we have to allow him to work in our lives. We have to allow the Holy Spirit of God to work in our lives to make those changes. Yes, we were a people once of unclean lips. Yes, we were undone. But praise God, none of that applies anymore. And we cannot use that as an excuse. We're going to look finally at one more excuse for not serving God. We've looked at three so far. Moses said, I'm slow of speech. I can't talk. Simon Peter said, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. And we just saw that Isaiah said, he couldn't serve God. I'm a man of unclean lips. Finally, turn with me to Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6 this morning. We want to look at Gideon just for a moment. He came up with an excuse. Judges chapter 6. In Judges chapter 6, we want to read in verse 15 about Gideon, about his excuse. Another great man of God. We've looked at three great men of God this morning. We're going to look at one more. Gideon this morning. We've looked at Moses, Simon, Peter, and Isaiah. Now we're going to look at Gideon, what excuse he came up with. In Judges chapter 6 and verse 15, Gideon speaking, and he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. So the excuse that Gideon gives is, I'm poor. Not only am I poor, not only is my family poor, but I'm the poorest in the family. He says, I'm the least. But notice the Lord's reply. Again, the Lord's sitting there listening to him. Yeah, okay, I hear you. But look what the Lord said. The Lord said in Judges 6:16, and the Lord said unto him, saying unto Gideon, surely I will be with thee. Promise, part of it, number one. And second part, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. God said, the Lord said, despite that you're poor, the poorest of your family, I will be with you, and you will smite the Midianites as one man. You know, Christians do the same thing. They make the same excuse. God can't use me because I'm poor, because I live in the projects, or I live in the ghetto, or whatever it may be, or I'm uneducated. Or I haven't been to Bible college, or whatever it may be. But Christian, you have to remember this. If God goes with you, then you are invulnerable. Bob Jones Sr. once said, one man in God is a majority. One man in God is a majority. You see, God uses the little things, the least things of this world, to do his business, so we can't glory in the flesh. For example, do we remember David, who slew Goliath the giant, the mighty man of war? We are told that he was the least of Jesse's son. He was the eighth son. He was the youngest son. He was ruddy in complexion. He was the little shepherd boy. And what did he use for his weapons? A sling and stone. And he only had to use one stone to fell that giant. But God used him, amen. God used David. God is good at the business of using the least and with the foolish things of the world to confound the wise of this world. We see later on in Judges how Gideon started out with 32,000 men in his army. 32,000 men. And he ended up with 300 men. He ended up with 300 men to fight 135,000 Midianites. You know what the odds were there? For every one of Gideon's men, there were 450 Midianites. He was outnumbered 450-1. Those were the odds. And what did they have for weapons? Trumpets, lamps, and pitchers for weapons. But they prevailed. They prevailed not because of anything they did, but because of what the Lord did. And you prevail too, not because of anything that you can do or I can do, but what the Lord can do. So we see again, another excuse is blown out of the water. I'm poor. I'm the least. I can't serve God because I'm poor. I'm the least. The Apostle Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, he said, "And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." You see, Christian, you have no excuse this morning for not serving the Lord, because it is Christ Jesus himself that does the enabling. Amen. He's what enables you to serve him, not you. All he wants you to do is to be faithful. To be faithful to that which he has given you to do. You know why most people can't be faithful to the Lord? One of the simplest things that God says, the Lord says to prove them, is through tithing. Most Christians don't tithe. That's the one way to prove God, to have faith in God and his promise. The simplest thing is to tithe. So if folks can't even tithe, how can they serve God? This morning, we have looked at four excuses for not serving God. Moses, I'm slow of speech. Simon Peter, I'm a sinful man. Isaiah, I'm a man of unclean lips. Gideon, I'm poor. But praise God, God had an answer for each one of these excuses. God had an answer for each one of these excuses. He didn't come up short. Christian, what is your excuse this morning for not serving God? The thing about it is, he has an answer for it. See, what you need to do is, just like with each one of these men did, is tell God why you can't serve him. Tell him. Just tell him flat out. He wants to hear it. He's concerned about it. God, I can't serve you this morning because I'm sitting here in this wheelchair. I can't serve you, God. Listen for his response. Or I can't serve God this morning because I'm on welfare. Or I can't serve God this morning because I'm home from work on workman's comp. There are many excuses that we can use. Or I can't serve God this morning because I have a large family. Or I have an elderly parent that I have to take care of. Or I have a job that I have to be at 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, or the thing's going to cave. But see, the problem is you're giving God the excuse, but you're not listening to his answer. Paul said he would enable you. He enabled Paul to do what he did because he found Paul faithful. That's what God wants to find us faithful. God wants to find us faithful. He'll enable you to do and serve him. We're not all called to be deacons. We're not all called to be teachers. We're not all called to be preachers. But God has something, a plan for each and every one of us for him to do. You got an excuse, give it to him. But he has an answer for you. All you have to do is listen for his answer. You have a choice. Either listen to God now and go like Moses went and go like Simon Peter went and go like Isaiah went and go like Gideon went. Or, Christian, you can wait until you hit the judgment seat of Christ when Jesus will call your name and there'll be no place to hide. You'll be right out in the open. There won't be any trees or any place or tables to get under. The spotlight's going to be on you. And the results are going to be the same. The same is described in the scriptures this morning of one servant that did this, that didn't serve God. We're going to close with this. In Luke chapter 19, we have that great verse, "Occupy till I come." But in Luke chapter 19, there was someone that didn't occupy till the Lord returned. In Luke chapter 19 and verse 20 and following, and it says, "And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow." So, here's something the Lord gave his servant to do, and he didn't do it. He came up, obviously, here's his excuse. "For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man," so forth and so on. That's the excuse that he was given the Lord right there. He said, Lord gave you something to do, but you didn't do it. And here's his excuse in verse 21 we just read. "And he saith unto him, Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee. Thou wicked servant, thou knowest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required my own with usury?" In other words, you could have even just put it in the bank and made some money on it and got a return for it, is what he's talking here. And he says to the Christian, for example, "You could have left a gospel tract in a public restroom for me once in a while. You know? Whatever it may be, you could have put a gospel tract in every time you paid a bill or something. I mean, they're not going to send the bill back. They want the money for their bill. You know? "And he said unto them that stood by, Take from him the pound and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him." See, what's going to happen is, when you get up there, just like with this gentleman here, or this servant here, your opportunity is lost for serving God. You know, praise God that, Christian, you're not going to lose your salvation. Praise God for that. You know, you're not going to be cast into the lake of fire. You know, you're not going to be cast in where there'll be gnashing and wailing of teeth and all of that stuff, where the worm never dieth, as we're told. But what you're going to lose is your rewards. He's going to show you, you could have, this is what I was going to, because of you being faithful and serving me down here, this is what you were going to do up here with me. Or on the earth when I reigned for 1,000 years, you were going to rule and reign with me. But no, you came up with some dumb excuse. You know? Well, if I left it in the public restroom, they were going to track me down and yell at me for leaving it in the public restroom. Or again, if I put in a bill, they're going to send the bill back. Come on, get with it. The choice is yours, Christian, this morning. whether you're going to suffer down here. So you can't get the crown first. You can't get the crown first. You've got to take up your cross and follow him first. Just like Christ with him, it was the cross first and then the crown. It's the same way with us. We have a cross of suffering down here for serving the Lord, so we can wear a crown someday with him. But the choice is yours. The choice is yours this morning. As you start out in 1995, is it going to be the same excuses why you can't serve God again? Are you going to listen to him? Like Moses did. I'll give you the words to say, Moses. The Holy Ghost will give you the words to say, Christian. You can witness for him, but you got to be in the book. You got to put in that data into your brain and your memory system. Depart from me, I'm a sinful man. I know that. The Lord knows that. That's why I had to save you. But I'll make you fishers of men. You'll catch men if you let me work in your life. I'm a man of unclean lips, so I know that.